When we were singing the song a few minutes ago, 125, Jesus paid it all. The last hymn, the last verse, I've sung this song, I guess, you know, I mean, I remember coming up in false religion singing this song. It's just one of those you always remember. But this line really came back to me. Well, I don't know if it came back first time I ever really saw it, I guess. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Thinking, standing before God, and then I honestly believe that the judgment will be over in just a twinkling of an eye. Just be over. But to stand there and have that thought come back to me, He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. Put away my guilt. Oh, may the Lord cause my heart to have that thought come back. He put away my guilt. Proverbs 18:17. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. I've entitled this message this morning, The Biggest Lie Ever Told. The Biggest Lie Ever Told. Proverbs 18, verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. You know, I've always heard this. You have too. There's always two sides to every story. Always two sides. And this, that statement right there, there's always two sides to every story, is what verse 17 is saying. That's what it's saying. By the grace of God, I want us to look at that for just a few minutes and see that. He that is first, that is first in place or first in time, is what that means, first. He that is first in his own cause, that is as a matter pertains to him, seemeth just. He seems to be right. But his neighbor, or that is another, cometh and searcheth him, or exposes him, is what it's saying. Here's what that verse says. He that's first in time or place in his own cause, as a matter pertains to himself, seems to be right when he tells his story. But another comes and exposes him. You know, when a story is told, and you hear one side of the story, now you know this, it's going to always be presented as or in a way that seems to sound so logical, so right. Well, I really don't see any need of even hearing the other side of the story. I mean, the way you told it, it just, that sounds good to me. I mean, I don't see how it could be any other way but that. Just one side of the story. Can you imagine how Potiphar's wife's story sounded when she told her side of the story? Telling her husband. Can you imagine Potiphar's wife explaining this to her husband? Honey, you're not going to believe this. This young boy, Joseph, that you brought into the house, I was against it from the first. And I've noticed the way he's looked at me. I could see it in his eyes. He scared me. He scared me from the very first. I knew what he was thinking. And my fears were justified. He tried to take me. I fought him off. And I'm telling you, if it wouldn't have been for the screams, my fear. In fact, I tell you this, I just to prove that my story is right, I've got his coat right here. I fought him off, and he, you know. And I'm telling you, it's only by, you know, grace that I wasn't taken. Now let me ask you something. I just think about the nature of man. Just think about man, naturally speaking. And you know that story sounds, you know, I'd pretty well believe that one myself. Young guy, probably Potiphar's wife, probably beautiful woman. Nobody's in the house. They threw Joseph in jail. But you know, before it was all said and done, God exposed the truth. The truth came out. And it all redounded to the mercy and grace of God. God kept that boy. I mean, don't think for one second that Joseph, you know, in his natural self was beyond that. It was only by the grace of God that kept him from falling. It kept him preserved. God kept him. Many are going to stand before God in the day of judgment and going to give their side of the story first. Lord, Lord, you know that we've prophesied in your name. Lord, we preached in your name. We set forth that men and women needed to be saved. We preached life only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what they're saying now. They're not saying everything. We prophesied in your name. There's men standing in pulpits all over this world today that's preaching that salvation is only in the name of Jesus Christ. But you let them keep talking, and they're going to qualify what they're saying. He's done all he can do. He died on the cross for everybody. He's put away all of the sins of all men, all women. All you have to do. We prophesied in your name. And in thy name we cast out devils. There's evil in this world. And we cast demons out. And in thy name we've done many wonderful works. We've got programs, and we've got unwed mothers, and we've got crippled children, and we've got this. And I'm not belittling helping. I'm not doing that at all. But I'm telling you, when that becomes the basis of a man's righteousness before God, we've done all of these marvelous things. That's the first side of the story. And then the Lord speaks. And then he said, another cometh and searcheth him, exposes him. And this is what the Lord said. I never knew you. Never knew you. Almighty God is going to search out the motive of every man, every woman. Many will say, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. Another comes and exposes him. Now, here's my question. When did the lie of every unconverted man, woman, preacher, those sitting in the conference, where did all of this lies, where did all these lies begin? Turn to Genesis 3. Where'd this all start? Name of this message is The Biggest Lie Ever Told. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, here's the biggest lie right here ever been told. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Satan began a conversation by aiming at the point of his hatred, God's Word. God's Word. Let me tell you what man by nature hates concerning what we're doing right here. Man by nature hates God's Word. This is just a continuation of the first message. God's Word is hated because it gives all the honor, all the glory, all the praise to Him. And it makes man to be the recipient of God's mercy and compassion, or God's condemnation. Almighty God is going to do what Almighty God is pleased to do. Hath God said? That's the point of contention. Right? Did God say that? Eve related to Satan that God did forbid for her and for Adam to eat under the penalty of death. And he said, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. Man by nature today does not believe he's going to die. Only a believer believes God. Oh, men will admit that they're going to die physically. But I'm going to tell you something, and I know this. I know it by experience, personally experience, and by witness of it. Let me ask you this. Before the Lord called you out of darkness, did you truly believe that you were going to leave this world under the condemnation of God if God Almighty didn't show mercy to you? I mean, did it go through your mind that you were, you know, mulling over in your mind, you know what, if the Lord doesn't show mercy to me, I know this, I'm going to perish under the judgment and condemnation of God. You didn't think that. That never even entered your mind. You didn't believe he's going to die. Not a loving God. Condemn you. And I'll tell you another thing. Just because of man's pride and arrogance, he thinks that he has the ability to reconcile himself back to God. Well, if I don't do anything, I know that's not a good thing, so I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. I'm going to settle this thing. I had someone tell me one time, they'd been in about 3 different religions. And this was their statement. Well, the reason I wanted to do all of them, this is a quote, I wanted to cover all my bases. I wanted to cover all my bases just in case. Just in case. I don't know if speaking in tongues has anything to do with it, but just in case. I don't know if you really have to be baptized in order to be saved, but just in case. I don't know if you have to walk down an aisle and pray through, but just in case. Man does not believe he's going to die, that he has the ability somehow. You're not going to die, because God doth know that in the day that you eat, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be as gods. You're going to know good and evil. And you know what? Their eyes were open. And they did know good and evil. They knew good and did not have the ability to perform it. They knew evil and they couldn't avoid it. They could not avoid it. So what did they do? They took them some fig leaves and made themselves an apron. I'm going to cover myself before God because I know that I'm naked. There's a battle that goes on. In every believer, he knows something. He knows good and he knows evil. And a believer knows this: there's no good in me. And all I am in myself is evil. Oh, wicked, wretched man. And there's a battle that just goes on. Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another." So you cannot. Now listen to this. You cannot do the things you would. Is there a believer here that does not want to walk perfectly before God? In yourself, I'd love to be able to say I could do that, and I cannot. I'm going to tell you this though, but in Christ, and this is the heart of a believer. My first statement as being born in Adam said I could. And by the grace of God, the Lord showed me, no, you can't. And a believer believes God. And he said this, I know that I can't. I cannot do that. Born in Adam, sin reigned. It sat on the throne of my wicked heart. And I believe the lie of Satan, just like you did, being born in Adam. An unbeliever believes that lie and thinks he can ascend into heaven and reconcile himself back to God and be righteous in himself. He hears the lie that's being told that there's a little good in all men and God wants to do this if you'll let him, and he believes that. It sounds good. If the Lord had never done anything for you, does it sound logical to you? Does this sound logical? I'm talking about if you knew nothing of God's grace. The Lord wants to save you. It sounds good to me. God sent His only begotten Son into this world to lay down His life for everybody. And His blood is sufficient for all of the sins. That blood is sufficient for all of the sins of all men in this world. I'm thinking, that sounds good to me. And if you will go through this Bible and take that Roman road and admit that you're a sinner. I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I can get tracts that will tell me why. All I'm doing is repeating the tracts that I've found. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I know that because I know some things I've done. And God Almighty is a gracious God. And He'll forgive you if you'll humble yourself and ask Him to come into your heart and to save you. And then be faithful and get in a good gospel teaching Bible church Go to the church of your choice, but go. Go, just go. Be faithful. That sounds good to me. That sounds just as logical. Because what it does is it shows me that God will save some people if they'll let Him. He wants to. He that's first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor cometh and searches him out. Now let me ask you this. By the grace of God, has Almighty God set forth in His Word that He's going to have mercy and compassion to whomsoever He will? Yes, He has. What does the Lord have to say? I know what Satan said to Eve. You're not going to die. But what did God say about it? In the day you eat, you're going to surely die. You're going to die. And she took of that fruit and she gave it to Adam. And let me tell you what happened. They died spiritually. Now here's what I know. And by the grace of God, I believe this. I was born a spiritually dead sinner. I know that. I know that. By the grace of God, I don't believe that Almighty God, sent His Son into this world to pay for all the sins of all the men and women of this world. I don't believe in universal atonement. Why? Because God Almighty has set it forth in His Word, and His Spirit's taught me this. I've heard His Word. I've heard His voice, and He has told me. I saw fit. Not because of anything in me, but according to His will. I chose to show mercy to you. And before the foundation of the world, I chose you. I knew you before time ever began. And I chose to show mercy to you. And I chose you in My Son, who has ever stood as the surety for you. And having chosen you in My Son, I sent Him because of My love for you. I sent Him in this world to live before Me because you couldn't. And I was not going to let you perish. And in Him, according to His obedience, I reckoned His obedience to you. And charged you, imputed it to you. And you, Marvin Stoniker, in yourself, you're one of those that did only evil, in whose heart there only dwelt rebellion. That you dead in your trespasses and sins would never come because you couldn't come. And I took that which you are and I made My Son to be what you are. And before Me, He suffered the penalty. And I spewed out My wrath upon Him. For His honor, for His glory, and for His sake, in obedience to My will, and I did it for your good. And when it pleased Me, I called you out of darkness, and I gave you a new heart. I gave you a new spirit. And I wrote My law, I wrote My word on your heart. And I told you that I'm your God and you're My Son. adopted. I adopted you. And because it pleased me, I'm going to give you everything that's coming to my son. I'm going to give to you, being found in him. I am your God. You're my son. And you're going to be with me forever. And when you die, you'll be put in the ground. And this old corruptible is going to go to dust. But I'm going to raise you again. And the promise that I'm going to raise you is that I raised him. God raised him from the dead as the first fruit. There's the promise. And you know what? I believe God. I believe he's going to do that. The first story that was told me was a lie. But bless God, by his grace and mercy, a neighbor came and exposed it and called me out of darkness and gave me a heart after him. And I stand before you this morning, a sinner, saved by the grace of God. And I don't want, Pat, I don't want to claim any honor to myself. I just love proclaiming that I've been saved by grace. Kept by power, his power, by the power of God. And one of these days, this old corruptible right here is going to be put off and it's going to be incorruptible. And the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, Father, I will that those that you've given me be with me where I am. One of these days, that which I can't even imagine right now, I can't even enter it, I don't know how to think it. I have not seen, ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, I don't know. But I can tell you this, whatever it is, whatever heaven is going to be heaven because he's there. Lord, thanks be unto you that by your grace you came and exposed the lie. That you didn't leave me in darkness. That you saved me by grace, kept me by grace, teach me by grace. Lord, hold me because I can't hold myself. Amen.